God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. What does God look like? You know, anytime I'm talking to a friend on the phone, I may be in a state far away from home. I may be like in Arizona. And perhaps I'm looking out at a vast expanse of high desert. And I'm talking to a friend back home on the ranch. In my subconscious, in the back of my mind, as I'm talking on the phone, I can see an image, a picture of my friend. Maybe I'm imagining what that friend looks like as we speak. I wonder how you imagine God when you talk to him. I wonder if you do imagine God. That's a very difficult thing to do, since God exceeds the universe which he has built. God has said, to what will ye liken me, saith the Lord God? Well, there's nothing and no one like God. He exceeds all. You know, we recall much of what we've heard, but we recall much more of what we've seen. And Deuteronomy chapter 4 is very keen on what God's people, Israel, had heard, and even more what they had seen. Beginning in verse 3, the Bible says, Moses is speaking to Israel, your eyes have seen what the Lord did. And then he recalls the events of Baal and some other events in their lives. And in verse 9, he says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, because they affect your heart. They affect what you teach your children. In verse 12, he says, and the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, which must have been a startling manifestation to some limited degree of God Almighty. And he says to these people, ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. When God spoke to you out of Horeb, Moses says, you heard his words, but you didn't see him. You didn't see his actual self. Verse 15 sums it up by saying, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. Why? For ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. You heard God's words, but you never saw him. This whole chapter is defined by words like similitude, think similar. God is not similar to anything or anyone. The word image, from which we get our English word imagine, that is the image in your mind of what God must be. The word figure. If in Tennessee, if I say, hey, I figure it's this way, what I'm saying is, what this looks like to me is, we see the word likeness. And again, God has said, to whom then will ye liken me, saith the Lord God. So in verse 32, God created man. Man didn't create God, and yet that's our tendency. In the following verses, verses 16 and 17 and 18, be careful, don't corrupt yourselves, he says, by corrupting your image of God, the way you imagine God, after a man or a woman, after the likeness of a bird, after the likeness of a fish. What we do is we say, my, God is powerful. You know, if God could fly, he would fly like a bird. My, God is powerful. If God could swim, he would swim like a fish. My, God is powerful. If he looked like a human, he would look like Atlas. And therein lies the danger. We recreate God in our image instead of allowing God to define himself. What am I saying? What I'm saying is, don't imagine God to be anything less than he has revealed himself to be. Now, it's wise to present God in a way that people can understand from where they are. So, for instance, many years ago, my grandfather preached to people who had never seen an outsider in a very remote part of what at that time was called the Belgian Congo. And he described his trip to their village as having come on a big bird across the great waters. Now that sounds so quaint and so silly, you may think, no, you've got to be kidding me. But no, that's the way he described it. And it's because of the background of the people to whom he was speaking. So I understand that all of us speak from a certain background. I'm Southern, maybe you're Northern, or maybe you're not even from America. But what I'm saying is that we're not to submit our thinking or our God to people's understanding. We should present God in a way that people can understand without submitting God to people's misconceptions of him. God is not American. God is not Southern. And so if I'm talking to Americans or Southerners, I should use the language best descriptive of who God is in a way we can understand, but realize that God exceeds who we are. God is greater than who we are. God is not a man. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should become weary. God is not a man that he should sleep. Our worship of and obedience to God is to be a response to him and not a reflection of the culture around us. God is great. God is infinite. God is mighty. God is loving and gracious, the God of the Bible. And we're not to limit him to any one aspect of who he's revealed himself to be. We're to reveal God to be as he has revealed himself to be by his actions and in his word.